It's a privilege to be with you again this morning and been blessed by the service, the singing and the devotional meditation, the Sunday school. Certainly has been a real blessing, and appreciated the discussion and the challenging and encouraging thoughts that were shared. Bring greetings to you from the Santa Fe Mennonite Church in Lake Butler, Florida. Lest I forget, we would certainly invite all of you, maybe at varied times, to come visit. Probably winter times are a little better for you than in the summer, but our summers are not a lot different than what yours are here. But anyway, we'd like to welcome you to our area as you would see fit. Thank you for praying for the service. Praise God that we serve and worship a changeless God in a changing world. So thankful this morning for that. I'd like to think for a while on a subject that I suppose most of you are familiar with. I, for one, can identify quite readily with the subject that I'd like for us to think about, and that is a subject of understanding and coping with stress. Now, maybe that's all foreign to you, but if I know you, a human nature, and using myself in observation and experience, I think we're probably all alike. I should say this, that I believe that stages in life and possibly personalities can make a difference on levels of stress. And I'd like to make room for that. However, to understand stress and how to cope with it, I suppose some of my thoughts are taken from my personal experience and by observation and by what the Bible says. Maybe that should have been reversed in looking at what the scriptures say concerning stress and then by personal experience and by observation. I'd like to, in introducing the outline, like to consider the the definition of stress. How would you define stress? We'd like to look at recognizing stress. Then we would like to consider trying to describe what stress is. And then lastly, then how to relate to stress or coping with stress. At the beginning of this introduction to the outline or to the subject, I'd like for us to consider the Serenity Prayer. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. The Serenity Prayer goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and then wisdom to know the difference. Trust that that would be our desire, that would be our prayer as we look at this subject of stress. There are some verses that we'd like to consider to serve as a foundation or as a springboard to this subject of understanding and coping with stress. And these verses are found in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. We'd like to look at verse 10, and then we'd also like to look at verse 13. And one of the verses that our brother read in the devotional impressed me And that was, if I remember the words, fear not. And what's the rest of that verse? For I am the Lord. Fear not, for I am the Lord. And this will come out strong in these few verses that we're going to be looking at. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, or the word dismayed there, if I understand right, simply means to be disgruntled. Don't be disgruntled. Why? For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Then we go to verse 13. He says, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. My, what a comfort. That sounds rather opposite to stress, doesn't it? Or can we include stress with what these verses are telling us? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says like this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, the Bible also says something about this, and we take Job as an example in chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. The Bible talks about a man who apparently I would picture as being a man who experienced a lot of stress in his life. And he says in verse 6, chapter 5, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Verse 8, I would seek God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Verse 9, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Then we go to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I remember years ago, in a winter Bible school in Hartville, Ohio, the principal described this verse a little bit like this. He said that it's like, he likes to think about a table and the temptations are laid out on the table and God allows only the temptations that we can handle, that we can overcome, and he sorts them, and they're out on the table. And so God only allows us to be tempted. And that's what this verse says, is it not? He said that there's no temptation taken you, but as such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. We have that great invitation in relation to what we're talking about. In verse 28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. My burden is light. Now we'd like to look at at stress a little closer. If we were to give you opportunity to explain or to define in a few words in your mind, whether it's by what The dictionary says, or by your own experience, how would you describe it? Or how would you define stress? The Bible does speak to things related to stress, and we could include anxiety, we can include worry, and we could include trouble. And the Bible has something to say about those three things, and we put those three together in a package and probably could label that stress associated with that. But the Bible gives clear answers on how to deal with them. Now, the dictionary defines stresses as physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension. Does that sound familiar? If you've ever been stressed out, you know what I'm talking about. And we'd like to look at that closer and help us to learn a little bit more, a little bit better maybe, what stress is, how to recognize it, which is our next point, and then learning how to cope with it. You know, everyone suffers from stress at one time or another. In fact, research would tell us or suggest that children who live in a stressful home environment are at greater risk to become highly stressed by the challenges that come into one's life. Stress can cause us to do things we would not normally do or possibly cause us to shut down completely. Now, how do we recognize stress? We've looked at partially at least in defining stress. What is stress? How do we recognize it? I'd like for us to consider some symptoms or even the presence of stress. And maybe some of these I don't even need to mention because you already know, but I'm going to refresh them in our minds anyway. I believe that we do good to recognize stress, some symptoms or the presence of stress. I mentioned earlier that there can be a tremendous difference among individuals and stages in life. Probably in my own experience, when I was where many of you young men are today, in the heat of the day with family responsibilities, home duties, trying to make a livelihood, be in business for yourself. Possibly you have offices and positions in church life, try to take care of that, school board meetings. Maybe you're on a larger scope of responsibility, such as the mission field. Maybe you're on the board. Maybe you are chairman of the board. Maybe even reaches out further than that. That can be stressful for a young man, a young father who's in the heat of the day. And because of that, having experienced that in my own life, I suppose I feel more sympathetic toward our younger fathers who are experiencing those type of things. Very, very stressful. But God is faithful. God certainly is waiting and wanting to hear when we come to Him with the pressures in life that cause stresses, such as I've just mentioned. What are some symptoms or presence of stress? There are just a few that I'd like to mention to be able to identify with. One is worry, anxiety, and panic attacks. Stress. worry, anxiety, or panic attacks. Another one would be irritability, impatient, intolerant, or moodiness. We could look at some others, such as in the physical area, some physical symptoms, such as stomach problems. I'm not saying that all stomach problems are related to stress, but it can be. Headaches or chest pain. Another one would be problems with sleeping. Another one would be feeling overwhelmed and helpless. Another one would be eating too much or not enough, affecting our appetites. A major factor that can steal our ability to be positive. Cultivating negative thoughts will cause us to see difficulties in every positive opportunity. The last one I'd like to include, and that is not the least but the last, and that is stress can and will oftentimes drain our energy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, there's a question that comes to my mind when I look at these, especially the last one. Is it possible that some of our homes or some of our churches or some of our schools or some of our mission outreach interests may be suffering because of being overworked, overstressed, and simply burned out? Is there that possibility? Now, I'd like to move on to looking at the description of stress. And probably a lot of these are closely related, but I'd like to approach it maybe from a little different angle. A description of stress. Number one is the gap between the demands that are placed on us and the strength or ability in meeting those demands. There's a gap. And I think that's where we find the stress point, is when there are things that need to be done, we don't have the ability to do it, and we don't have the strength. And so it causes stress. The gap between the demands that are placed on us and the strength or the ability in meeting those demands. You know, stress develops when the demands in our lives exceeds our ability to cope with them. Number two, there's a gap between want-tos and the can't-dos that quite often leaves us frustrated and upset. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I look back at what I used to do and what I was able to do, and I would still enjoy doing those things. My mind says you can, but my body says no. Maybe your older brother knows what I'm talking about. Those are some of the things that cause stress. The gap between want-tos and the can't-dos quite often leaves us frustrated and upset. To most of us, stress is synonymous with worry. Stress is to be tense. Stress is to be tense, under pressure, and uptight. It's like someone has said, hurry, worry, then bury. And that seems to be so characteristic in lives today, not everyone. The key driver of stress is this: high levels of uncertainty about what options are really available. Sometimes we hear the statements, "I've got a problem." There's a problem. Is there ever a problem that there isn't a solution to? Now you answer that one. Is there ever a problem that there's not a solution to? There's a song that I shared some time ago that God has an answer for, I believe, is it everything? Someone challenged that, but they said they don't know. They don't think that God has the answer to every problem. But according to the Bible, God does have the answer to every problem. And there is a solution to every problem. Avoid making major decisions while overstressed. The greater the stress, the greater tendency to make premature choices. Along with that, cultivate positive attitudes. You say, how can you cultivate positive attitudes when you're under stress? Well, the Bible has something to say about that too, doesn't it? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, it doesn't say except if you're under stress, then you don't rejoice. But the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, the Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that's what the Bible says. In stressful situations, we need to consider my attitude and its influence on other people. Did you know that fear and anxiety are even more contagious than COVID-19? Fear and anxiety is more contagious. The governor in Florida made this statement not long ago, but he said that what's happening is that this, leaving false impressions, is producing fear. And we need to base our decisions on the facts and not be motivated and allow fear to direct our thinking. When people can cause us to fear, it's opening the door for additional manipulation. And you know, the devil works that way too. Now, fear and anxiety are even more contagious than the viruses, making us miserable and emotionally sick to the point of affecting our work, relationships, and health. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10, I believe it is. And verses 1 through 8. And there are four things here that when Israel was called to go to war, there were four things that exempt a man from going to war. And let's notice those three, but specifically the fourth one. All right, we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, so fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, this is verse 5, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. Now notice verse 8. And this is what we're talking about, our attitude towards stresses and the influence that it can have on others. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. Contagious, our attitude can affect others as well. Cultivate self-discipline in physical exercise, eating a balanced diet and proper amount of rest. That is helping to cope with stress. Number 8, the need and value of walking with God. And I appreciate that being emphasized this morning in the Sunday school discussion. The need and value of walking with God on a daily basis. It is Him that we have our needs met. For an example, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul was in I think he was frustrated. He was under stress. It doesn't say that he was, but I would take that he was because of what we read in these verses, verse 7. Paul says, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And I suppose that was stressful for him, which I would take further in reading his testimony that it was. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And then the Lord came back to him and said this, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. We come back to the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The pressures that come into our lives should help us to grow. And it did in Paul's life. The thorn in the flesh. Paul's desire would have been that thorn would have been removed. He felt like that he could serve God better if somehow that thorn was removed and he'd be free of that. But no, that was not God's plan for him. God saw that he could use Paul better by Paul keeping this thorn in the flesh. And that's why Paul says, Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. So the pressures that come into our lives should help us to grow. Being in touch with God is a wonderful balance for relieving inner stress. In Psalms 94, verse 19, the Bible says, "In the multitude of my thoughts," that's a good place to stop and think. In the multitude of my thoughts, what is your situation this morning? Are you under a lot of pressure? Are you under a lot of stress? In the multitude of my thoughts, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And there's where we find COVID-19 has been causing a lot of stress. And not only that, but we are living in a time of an increased pressurized society affecting stress levels. I don't need to enlarge on that. You know what I'm saying in relation to that. But there's another pandemic that it's important that we survive, and that is sin. The sin pandemic. You know, with COVID-19, they say, wash often. Wash your hands often. Avoid touching. Social distancing. A shelter in place. Now, to spiritualize that, how to survive the sin pandemic. Now, this is not original with me. This was shared some time ago by another minister. But he said like this, wash often. Use the water of the word. Avoid touching the unclean things. Social distancing them from evil companions. Shelter in place. God is a refuge for us. And I like that. I appreciated that. And it's wonderful. It's urgent that we survive this worldwide plague of sin around us. We recognize how God uses our stresses for our good and for His glory. Well, does that mean then that we intentionally add additional stresses to our life so that God receives more glory? No, I don't believe it means that. But we need to recognize how God uses our stresses for our good and for His glory. You know, we are on the underside of the tapestry. How true. We see the knots. We see the tangles and the frayed underside. But God is on the upper side of the tapestry, the side that He is weaving into a beautiful work of art. We may not always know what the master artist is doing in our lives, but the important thing is He does. When we see the all-powerful God on the throne of the universe, we are relieved of much stress. And the stresses that we respond to the right way leaves us far richer. Might say, then how can we say that stress in a way is good for us? We do not work ourselves into a frenzy. We don't work ourselves into difficult situations intentionally that cause stress. But we do experience stress, and stresses are good for us. God uses stress to get our attention, number one. Number two, God uses stress to help us redefine or rediscover our priorities. Number three, God uses our stresses to draw us to Himself. Number four, God uses stress to discipline us, or in other words, corrective measures. And number five, God uses stress to strengthen our faith. This morning, coping with stress, count your blessings. In the midst of an overstressed society, there's something that we all can do, and that is S-M-I-L-E. You know, when you're smiling inside, you can't help but smile on the outside. I've seen pictures recently of couples who, on their first date, had their picture taken, and they were so much in smiles, and rightly so. But you know why? They were smiling inside, and they couldn't help it. They were smiling on the outside. As Christians, once there was a Christian who was talking to an unchristian about becoming a Christian. And as he was talking to this non-Christian, Christian was trying to help the non-Christian to become a Christian, and the non-Christian said, "No thanks, I have enough troubles of my own." As Christians, give the world a smile. God had done so much for us, and he's continuing to bless us. We focus on his blessings rather than on what we don't have. It's so easy. The Bible says we need to learn to rest in the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, now I'd like to ask you a question. We know the Bible says that, but what does it mean to rest in the Lord? To rest in the Lord, we yield ourselves totally to God and let him be in charge. I know it's hard to do that when we are facing, we would call it between a hard place and a rock. We say, how can that be? But we need to yield ourselves totally to God and let him be in charge. We need to, as we rest in the Lord, release our lives to the Lord and let him have his way. When we rest in the Lord, it allows God to carry out his plans. Instead of worrying about the what-ifs of tomorrow or the if-onlys of yesterday, we need to focus on today and enjoy it to the fullest. It has been said like this: leave the past, live in the present, and live in anticipation of the future. You know, when we rest in the Lord, we admit that we can't do it alone. When we rest in the Lord, we release the problem to the Lord. When we rest in him, we believe that he is able to solve the problem. When we rest in him, then we rest in him. Finally, I thank God that I am able to trust him. Praise the Lord. Back to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I'd like to leave this verse with us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you believe that? Yes, amen. I believe it. Now, to get a hold of that and trust him, does that mean that we don't have any more concerns? Does that mean that we have no more fears? Does that mean that we're to be naive from now on? No. But it does mean that we trust in God and that we're able to trust him and leave it there with him and allow him to work with us through the issues that are stressful at times. May God bless you and keep up the good work and stay on the glory way, because we don't have long. I believe the signs of the times are here. And I don't know, I'm not sure when we might hear that trumpet sound. The Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then what? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that comfort and for that encouragement that I would like to leave with you.